Rock Stars. I'm Alex Worley. Joining me right now, Benoit Vetturi. He is the CEO and co-founder of Mammoth Media. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So if you could start out by telling us, what is Mammoth Media?
Mammoth Media is a mobile media company. So we're publishing apps. The idea is to entertain users on the mobile screen 2 minutes at a time. We have two apps currently that are up in the charts, one called Wishbone and the other one called Yarn.
Awesome. Okay, well, we are going to dive more into your business, into your journey in just a second. But first, we like to play this game. It is called 60-Second CEO. So you can give me your quick instinctual answers, starting with, who is your favorite entrepreneur?
Eve Williams.
Someone is very disruptive in a bad way in your company, but they are good at what they do. Keep them or fire them?
Keep them.
How many hours do you sleep a night?
Six.
Do you work weekends?
Yes.
What is the first thing you do when you wake up?
Check my emails.
What rule do you live by?
Never give up.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how weird are you?
6.
When did you realize you have the strength and power to become an entrepreneur?
I still haven't realized it.
How would you describe yourself in one word?
Strong.
What superhero would you like to be?
Spider-Man.
I love it. You're like straight into the point. My kind of guy in this game. That's what we like. Now we have more time to slow it down, dive into your journey. So let's start with this. What does it mean to you to be an entrepreneur?
I mean, it could mean a lot of things, but for me, it's to take a shot at everything that you think could be a great idea and not be afraid of taking the risk. So being an entrepreneur is risky. And taking risk is part of the life of an entrepreneur.
Do you think you should just go for the risk, or do you think that there's such a thing as a calculated risk? How did you know that this was the risk you wanted to take?
You always try to age your risk and calculate how much risk you're taking. But unless you do it, you never know how much risk you're taking. So yes, I'm always trying to take the least amount of risk for the most rewards,
sure.
But you have to go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were you doing before Mammoth Media?
Since I graduated from college, I just built companies. And so I did a total probably of like 12 startups until this one. And the one right before Mammoth Media was another media company that was a mobile ad network.
So tell me what it was like going straight into entrepreneurship and really being a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, I was in college and I was not really thrilled about going to classes and listening to what was going on. I wanted to run my business. I wanted to make money. I wanted to build things. And so that's what I did. First out of college, that was, you know, in 1999, the internet was getting strong and started thinking about what I could do on the internet. And I went for it.
So you are from France.
I am.
What point did you decide that you wanted to come to the States? And when did you realize, okay, maybe I could further my businesses if I did so?
After I sold my first startup out of college. So started it in college, kept going after graduating, sold it. And that's when I realized that maybe I should go somewhere else to pursue that entrepreneurship that I have in me. And I was talking with friends and it's like, why are you not moving to the States? That's probably where you will be able to accomplish most of the ideas that you have in mind. And I'm like, let's do this.
Any advice that you have for somebody moving to a new country and starting their businesses or growing their businesses here?
Yeah, I would say surround yourself with people that know what they are talking about. I think advice and guidance from strong people on all fronts, right? From legal to finance to all the different things that you need to build a business, especially when you move to a new country and it's a new set of rules, it's important to be surrounded by the right folks.
When you started your first business, were you ever afraid to fail? Did you ever consider quitting?
Of course, yes. And I still do. That's part of the journey.
Even quitting you every once in a while?
I mean, for a matter of like maybe half a second, like, what am I doing here? It's tough. But it's always the same thing. You're like, okay, no, I'm going to get back at it and I'm going to push through and I'm going to make it happen.
What keeps you going?
I think it's the reward when you build something that has an impact. That feeling when you accomplish that is strong, and I love it. So I keep seeking for it.
Sure. If you could go back in time and give your early entrepreneurial self advice, what advice would you give yourself?
I think I would say, like, probably take more risk. The younger you are, the more risk you can take. You don't necessarily have, you know, mortgage, family to take care of. So I think I would have taken more risk probably if I had myself right now. I was like, just take more risk, do it now.
And what about for someone who is not fresh out of college? Mm-hmm. What advice would you give them?
I would say to really, when you're getting into, a lot of people have ideas. And I think ideas are not enough in those days. So start to build what I would call a proof of concept, to really see if it can work, and to really see if it's a potential business. Don't give up everything without some kind of proof of concept in place.
Yeah. If you were to create a startup toolkit, what mm-hmm. would be inside of it, tangible or intangible?
I would say some savings in the bank. That's one. A good lawyer. That's two. And I would say a good product. I would say person maybe, or flow on how to build something. And it's difficult because sometimes you have an idea and you don't know how to go from idea to execution. And there are known methodology on how to accomplish that. And so that's what I would give to someone that wants to start.
Sure. What would you say has been the best part about being your own boss?
I can call the shots. I don't have someone that has to tell me what I have to do. So
what's the hardest part?
Is that you have to take care of a lot of people. And so you need to make sure that the decisions that you make are going to have a positive impact and not hurt them.
On a day-to-day basis, how is that different? You know, if somebody's still considering whether or not entrepreneurship is mm-hmm. right for them, mm-hmm. what does that, I don't want to say burden because it's a good thing, but mm-hmm. what does that responsibility look like to be, you know, have employees and yeah. have everything be on your shoulders?
It's a 24/7. It's tough. The journey is difficult. It's long, but it's rewarding. And so it's a nonstop type of thing that you keep thinking about. You keep thinking about what you're building. You keep thinking about the people that you hire. A lot of people put a lot of of belief in what you're doing, and so you have to respect that and be careful about what you do.
Mm-hmm. When you're making a tough decision, do you go off of research or your gut?
I usually start with my guts and then try to validate that with data.
Who is your number one mentor?
Mike Jones.
What is the best piece of advice that you received from him?
Move fast.
Elaborate on that. What do you? It's like how when does you that have an, look when, in your business?
And for me, like, I have a new app idea. Mm-hmm. Let's get to an app built and to market right away.
Don't sit on the idea. Like, come up with your minimum viable product, see if it works or not.
Yes.
If it doesn't, move on.
Get data right away. And exactly. And the next thing is, you know, don't be afraid to call it a day and move mm-hmm. on to the next thing.
I think that's something that isn't talked about enough in entrepreneurship, because a lot of times people are just talking about don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. And in general speaking, yes, don't give up on the business if there's something there, but you can waste a lot of time sticking with the wrong idea.
It's a tough balance, right? To not give up too early, but not give up too late, right? Giving up too early, you could miss on a big opportunity. Giving up too late, you may just kill the idea and the company itself. So it is tough. And I don't have a recipe for that. I don't have a formula for that.
How do you know? Do you go off again of that more gut feeling?
It's more gut feeling, but it's also some rules that you set after X amount of iteration. If you don't get the traction that you're looking for, and all, like myself, I always go with data. So I have numbers in mind that I want to reach. If I don't get to those numbers after 3 iterations, for example, I'll call it a day.
Yeah, because ultimately you have to look to your audience. Is there a response? And after iteration three, if it didn't work with your audience,
then it's probably not the right one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good summary. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about building the business. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Have you ever thought about becoming an entrepreneur? Are you tired of building somebody else's dream? Well, go build your own. Go to businessrockstars.com and find out how. Businessrockstars.com.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty leaders and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its online MBA, Information Management, and Business Analytics master's programs. Learn more about the W.P. Carey business degrees online. For more information, text RANK to 79645. That's RANK to 79645.
Hello.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Benoit Vatiri, continuing our conversation about his company, Mammoth Media, which is he is the CEO and co-founder of. So where did you come up with the idea for this business?
So my experience over the past, I would say, 10 years has been online. And I've seen the shift from desktop to mobile web to apps. And I've seen a lot of successful company on mobile, which are around games. And I believe that was a way to entertain users beyond games. And I wanted to really focus on premium content. But for that to happen, I realized that I have to own my monetization and my distribution. I cannot rely on a Facebook, on a Snapchat, on Instagram to get in front of users. So that's why I figured that here I had, if I wanted to be the next media empire when it comes to mobile, I could do this and nobody has done it yet. Building a distribution platform, a monetization platform, and then start thinking about formats.
Yeah, and obviously that's a huge feat. I mean, you're competing with the biggest of the big, you know? And so, but that's great. And having a huge vision is part of the equation. Mm-hmm. So give me a little bit of a behind the scenes look of what that looks like when you're wanting to build a huge platform like that.
It's a lot of engineers. So I have an office with probably now 15 to 20 engineers working nonstop. It's a lot of thinking around what it takes to acquire a user, because distribution and monetization comes from the ability to acquire yourself a user. So there is a lot of data involved. If you come to our office, it's screens everywhere. Like if you are on Wall Street trading stocks, it's a lot of green and red all over. It's a lot of engineering work, a lot of data work. And then product, because once you have that platform, now you need to have a product in place to put in front of those users.
Yeah. Coming up with capital in the beginning is always a challenge. How did you come up with the capital?
I went to raise a seed round. So first round, I went to Science, a startup studio / investor in the LA area. I knew Mike Jones was CEO and founder of Science, went to pitch him and raise a round to get going.
Any advice when it comes to pitching and securing funds?
Yeah, it's brutal. You're going to get a lot of no's. And probably you're going to get, I would say, at least 50 no's to get one yes. So keep that in mind. It's not because you're going to get your first 3, 4, 5 no's that you're not going to be able to raise money.
So it's a perseverance game.
Big time.
With that said, is there something that entrepreneurs can do to increase their odds?
Yes. Come with data in front of an investor. Because if it's just an idea, pretty much today, it doesn't cut it anymore to raise money just with an idea. So with a proof of concept, with data that supports that there is some traction, you don't need to have thousands and thousands of users, but some early data that tells you that there is some traction or that tells you that could be some traction.
So you should be testing out your idea first and have that proof.
And come in front of the investors with that. And then when you are in front of the investors, don't go small, go big. They want to hear big.
What do you mean by that?
You're not the next $10 million company. You're the next $1 billion company.
Okay, I love it.
They don't care about the next $10 million company.
Yeah, and obviously it depends who you're exactly pitching to. But
of
yeah,
course.
In the arena that you're talking about, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your team.
So my team, it's a team of 5 executives. And it's a total of 40 employees now, all in Santa Monica, California. And it's a good mix, a third of engineers, a third of content, because that's the core of our business, content development, and a third of operations, which covers data, monetization, and user acquisition.
So what are you looking for when you're hiring a new team member?
Passion, 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 passion. Skills, of course. But with the same level of skills, I need someone that believes in the business and will be with me in that journey, like he is a founder.
So do you measure that in the interview?
In the interview process, yes, a lot.
How would you describe your work culture?
Work, I would say work hard, play hard, probably is the easiest one to define it. But beyond that is, yes, really, really focused. And you know, all of us are just with eyes on the prize.
Do you have any ways or practices that you implement into your office to really promote that work culture?
Yeah, I mean, all of us at the executive level are trying to communicate that to our teams. But in terms of focus, yes, we do. Like I do all hands once a week, and every all hands meeting in front of all the employees, I recap what are the goals for the next 4 weeks. And we go through all of this all together. So everybody has the same set of goals, no matter what, if you're an engineer, if you're a data scientist, or if you're a salesperson, you're all working towards the same goal. And I make sure I reiterate those goals every single week.
Yeah, that's a good point, because a lot of times departments get so bogged down with what's right in front of them and lose sight of that bigger picture. Mm-hmm. But if they're connected to that bigger picture, it's going to make them more passionate, to your point earlier.
Yeah. Yes.
So what would you say has been the biggest challenge so far?
For this company, I would say the biggest challenge is to nail the quality of content, right? And for us, that's the core of our business. Obviously, now we have the platform, but we need to put content with that platform in front of users. And you realize that the quality of content really matters. And when we say premium content, there's a lot of premium content. And you can have amazing engagement with really strong content. But if the bar is too low, the users are not going to engage.
Let's talk about content for a second because it's only getting bigger, especially video content. And our entrepreneurs are, regardless of what industry they're in, they're probably content creators in some fashion, if nothing else, just on social media. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, what is doing well in content?
I think a lot of folks out there are really thinking content or format for mobile first, which is really good. That makes you consume the content and engage the content a lot better. I think there are a lot of folks thinking about the quality of the content, but in my opinion, there is so many social, snackable, poor quality content, pranks, you know, fails, all that stuff that you see, cute animals all day long. And in my opinion, I mean, it's an oversaturation of that kind of content. And we need to raise the bar and get into what you can consume on the longer form, premium content, bring it to shorter form. And right now, it's not necessarily happening.
Okay, let's end on this fun note. And that is, if you weren't an entrepreneur, what position or role would you want to have in the world?
Probably politics.
Politics?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I think that's something that I love and very passionate about and would love to be part of that picture.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. Pleasure meeting you and learning about your journey.
Thank you so much.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For having me.
I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Guys, good news. The outrageously expensive Little Blue Pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/doctor. That's forhims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/doctor.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show.
Now let's check in with Alex Worley for good reason. She's always got somebody great. Alex?
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. I'm joined by Paul Huang. He's the CEO of Raw Green Organics, and I'm so excited to chat with you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
I did. I my dad was an entrepreneur, and I grew up, working for him, and have always envisioned, doing what I'm doing.
That's a theme I hear a lot. A lot of times entrepreneurs had entrepreneur parents, so there
right.
must be something about growing up in it. What did you learn from growing up in it?
I think it's probably because you see the possibility of being able to run your own business. So I think, the parents have a big influence on what you envision and what you think you can do. So if your parents are in it, they're employed for 20 years by a certain company, then maybe that's what you see as being possible. But if you see your parents being able to start businesses, then maybe that's kind of something that it's always in the back of my mind, like, hey, I could do it. I've
seen
it.
Yeah, because the sad reality is a lot of businesses fail. But if you feel like, hey, I've seen people defeat the odds, I can too, that's probably really encouraging.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think in the course of any startup or business, you encounter so many challenges, and you can really quit at least 100 different points along the way. But I think it's the ones that are able to kind of persevere because they know that they've seen it happen in work that they kind of fight through it.
So what's that thing that keeps you going?
I think you have to be passionate about what you're doing. You really believe in what you're building, whether it's a product or service. And I think if you really believe that this is something that can be useful in society, you just keep going. You don't let the negatives stop you.
So you worked for family. Sounds like you had a positive experience. Would you ever hire family or hire a friend? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think some of your best referrals are from family and friends. I have worked in previous companies with friends. And so, yeah, I think those, it's, I think it does help when you know how the other person, you know, operates.
Yeah, and if you like how they operate, because a lot of people have the rule of no family and friend work relationships, but that's great that you've had success with it.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, knowing what their strengths are and what your strengths are, weaknesses, you can kind of, you know, play off of that. And I think knowing how people react versus how they really think, you know, that's important too. So I think a lot of, you know, sometimes friends, family can be better in certain situations. Yeah.
So what is your strength and weakness as a CEO?
Strength, I would say maybe being able to try to recruit the best people to work with me. And I have a lot of weaknesses. I don't know where to start.
You're being way too humble. You're allowed to brag here a little bit.
No, there's, you know, I think, no, the strength is definitely having people that do things better than you do. Mm-hmm. And I kind of recognize my weaknesses. And some of the weaknesses are, you know, maybe not being as detail oriented on some task, and maybe not, always looking at everything that's out there, all the options. So that's why you got to have good people around you.
So you hire detail-oriented people.
Yes, and people that can actually, you know, really flesh it out and give you the best solution.
This is Business Rockstars. We aim to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Paul Huang. He's the CEO of Raw Green Organics. And what would you say is a typical day like in your life?
Pretty easy. I get up, check my emails, have breakfast with my family, and then my wife and daughter kind of go to school, and then I head into the office. Usually there are just a lot of meetings and phone calls and conference calls, but usually meeting with each of the departments and the units and kind of going through what tasks need to be done.
How many hours would you say that you work every day?
Probably 12, I would say 12 hours a day.
That's a long day.
It's a long day. It's probably, I would say 8 to 8 is usually my work day.
So does that feel like a lot, or does it feel like you have work-life balance?
My wife would say, no, I would not have work-life balance. I would say I feel like it's just right, but she would disagree with me.
Are you still getting some sleep in there, at least?
Yeah, no,
Taking care of yourself a little bit?
I do, yes. I do get my sleep. I try to get at least 6 hours every night.
That's good. Yeah. So how would you describe your leadership style?
I would say it's probably more hands-off, and I kind of trust people to do their job and then, you know, kind of check back with them. And see where they are with that. And so I would say I kind of rely very heavily that they will be able to kind of do what they need to do. And then, you know, and that's comes back to having really good people around you.
Totally. And you've shared with me that you have a talent for hiring talent. So what is the key to hiring such good talent?
Well, I think you have to be there to sell your vision to, those key hires that you're bringing in. I think you have to be passionate and you have to know what you're talking about. So, you know, everyone can see through when someone is not authentic and doesn't believe in the mission. So you gotta really, you know, have that foundation.
Do you go more off of the resume or what they say in the interview or maybe something else? Or maybe all of it.
I would say our experience has been more of what they say. I think we, obviously there's, you know, it gets screened, the resumes get screened, but beyond that, yeah, I think what they say is probably very important.
Is it the passion or what is it that you're looking for in what they say?
I would say the authenticity of what they say is probably more important. So whether they, you know, they don't always have to give you the right answer, but they have they can't be making it up on the fly. I think they have to say what they really believe.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever had to fire somebody?
Yeah, I think that's something that is every entrepreneur. It's hard for entrepreneurs to do. It's just not in the nature of being an entrepreneur because you're trying to build up a team, not having to, you know, terminate employees. But it is important that if you know very early on that they're not the right fit, I think that needs to be addressed because you're not doing him or her a favor either.
Mm-hmm. And in your business, scalability is really important to growing. And right now you're online primarily in some stores and there's a goal to get in more stores. How do you manage all that growth?
Well, you just try. I mean, I think you have to wear multiple hats initially until you can get to a point where you can hire more people. And so as you hire more people, then you can kind of manage that growth. But initially, yeah, it's very difficult. You gotta wear very many hats.
Yeah, and you guys are both a brand and a manufacturer. Tell me what unique challenges come with that.
Just having to multitask. Manufacturing is very different from, you know, building a brand. Manufacturing is everything from sourcing, procurement, to quality assurance, control, to production, the actual running of the machines. And whereas I think the brand is very creative, very analytical with data, and having an intuitive feel for the marketplace. So it is tough, but I do have really good people that kind of help me out on both ends.
And if there's an entrepreneur watching who wants to make a manufactured product or sell one, would you advise them to be a brand and manufacturer? Would you advise them to just focus on being a brand and then hiring someone to manufacture it?
I think generally you probably build a brand first and then have manufacturers worry about the finished goods. Building a manufacturing just is much more capital intensive. So that's something a lot of startups, entrepreneurs probably would have a hard time with. So you want to build the brand because that's probably a little bit more of a brand equity in the long run.
And one of your motivations for being a manufacturer was for quality control, because it goes back to your values. It's so important to you to know exactly what ingredients are in your products and how they're being made. Is that right?
Yeah, because we have so many ingredients. Thousands of ingredients that we use and look at. So it is going to be very hard for us to outsource some of these products. And we try to be on trend with products. And as you know, in wellness, that means there are many products that come and go. So we have to kind of evolve with the marketplace.
So what are your three top tips for new or aspiring entrepreneurs?
I would say first, don't be afraid to go for the big home run. I know most people reach for the low-hanging fruit, but in the long run, you generally want to go for that, you know, uniqueness. I think it's very important. I think a lot of people get stuck with getting the low-hanging fruit, and then they get smashed by the big competitors. So I think that's important. Number two is don't try to do it alone. Try to get as many good people. Talent as you can to help you, and don't raise capital unless you know what you want to do with it.
Thank you so much to my guest, Paul Huang. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Audrey Bellis. She is the founder of Startup DTLA, as well as the founder of Worthy Women. It's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
So we both know as entrepreneurs, right? The ups and the downs, the failures, the successes, the lessons learned from all of those. The biggest fear of all of us, deep down inside, is our fear of not being worthy.
Right.
And one of the things that I think holds people back from becoming an entrepreneur or from really living the life that they're capable of, their full potential, and having the quality of life and the abundance in their life that we're all capable of achieving. The thing that really holds us back, I think, is our fear of success. Because if we fail, which achieving success in anything, we're going to fail, meaning we're going to learn on our way. But the reason why we're afraid of failure is because if we fail, it means we're not worthy enough.
Right.
And so self-worth is something that I know both of us have struggled with at some point in our life. And when we finally gave ourselves the gift of knowing that we're worthy, no matter what, that was when it all changed for us. And we've both been on rocket ships to success and have our own businesses. And so I'm curious from your perspective, I know you have an amazing story about how you triumphed over the adversity of not feeling worthy and just kind of the adversity that comes along with the entrepreneurship. So take us to that point in your life, and you know which one I'm talking about when you had that challenge and you had that adversity and how you triumphed over that, because I think it's really incredible.
I actually had a broken engagement that left me 6 figures in debt, and the only way I was ever going to pay that off was by becoming an entrepreneur, not by getting a job so I wouldn't be paying it off forever. And I had to really dig deep and find my self-worth for that, because I was embarrassed and ashamed at the amount of money that I owed, the situation that I had put myself in. And what did that mean for me as an entrepreneur? Am I worthy of going out and asking for people's business when I had gotten myself into such a predicament? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, that journey of discovering my self-worth really helped me to get to where I am today. And now I get to teach people how to find theirs.
So why do you think, I kind of touched on, in my own opinion, what I think it is, but why do you think most people struggle with self-worth? Why do you think most people beat themselves down? And the biggest person that's kind of putting them down in life is themselves. Right. And then it's a reflection of how they see the world. Why do you think most people do that to themselves? Why do you think most people don't feel worthy?
I think most people don't feel worthy because they've internalized beliefs about what they think actually brings value to them and determines how worthy they are. And oftentimes what happens is people put that outwardly and think, if I have this, then I will be worthy. When I have this job, when I have this boyfriend, when I close this deal, I will be worthy of love and belonging. I will be seen in the world. Mm. And the reality is you are worthy as is. No one else can assign your worth, only you can. Yet too often people put that outside and assume that other people will assign that to them when they can't.
I love that. I think that's so true. And I'm always curious to know, when did you give yourself the gift of knowing that you're worthy? Because that's a tipping point in all of our lives, that if we do get to that place where we give ourselves the gift, because that's really what you're doing. Only right. you can give it to yourself. You were just saying, right, but we try to reach out, we try to get other people. If this happened, yes. then I'll give it to me. But when did it happen for you? When did you give yourself the gift of feeling worthy?
It actually happened to me last year, and it wasn't something I found for myself. Somebody else illuminated that for me. Mm. I have a good friend of mine that I've known for many years, who's known me since high school, saw me through all this experience, right, of falling down and rebuilding. And she pointed out to me, she said, Audrey, you've been working really hard for a long time. When are you going to stop fighting and realize you're over the hump? You're already there. When are you just going to learn to actually enjoy what you have? Why does it have to always be so hard? And I took a look around me and I did some moral inventory and I said, you're right. It doesn't have to be this hard. I'm fighting for things because I've been stuck in this fight mode for so long that I don't have to fight for anymore. And that's when I really started giving myself permission yeah. to live in this place of, okay, I've got this. I'm good.
Yeah. Give it up for the good friends, right?
Yes.
Audrey Bellis is my guest right now. She's the founder of Startup DTLA as well as the founder of Worthy Women. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Again, Audrey Bellis is joining me right now, and we're talking about feeling worthy. Yep. And it's something that maybe some people are kind of like, I'm a man, I feel worthy. But deep down inside of us, I think the reason why most of us don't fulfill our potential in life is because we're afraid that if we reach for it and we don't get it, we aren't worthy.
Right.
And I think most people would rather settle for a life of comfort and security than to reach for their deepest, biggest dreams and not achieve them. Because if you don't, and you reach for your dreams and you don't achieve them, you're a failure.
Right.
And you're not worthy. And that's some real stuff right there. So what do you think is the key to recognizing that no matter what, you are worthy in life, so that people can give it to themselves? Because that's all that you can have. You can go out and you can achieve anything you want, but if you don't give yourself the gift of feeling worthy, you look at someone like Robin Williams.
Yeah.
The guy had achieved all of his wildest dreams, had an incredible family, was able to make anyone laugh in any context, was such an amazing role model, yet he took his own life.
Yeah.
So feeling worthy is a science, it's an art. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, what do you think it takes for people to recognize their own self-worth?
So I like to use the line, the relationship that I have with you is a direct reflection of the relationship that I have with myself.
Powerful.
And what is the relationship that I have with myself? How do I show up at work? How do I show up in my life? You touched on this idea of people are too scared to go out and get it. And so they play small and they live small. And we look at that and we say, oh man, you're just staying there in the comfort zone. The reality is that comfort zone eats them alive. It's the one thing that sends people into midlife crisis or whatever crisis that they're having. It makes them drink too much. It makes them fight too much with their partners. Mm. It makes the reasons why they cheat, lie, steal, control, manipulate. It doesn't not show up in their lives. It shows up every way and tortures them daily.
Audrey, you're amazing. I think this segment's really heartfelt and touching because I'm sure it's going to move a lot of people in a different way than some of our other segments. So I appreciate you for opening up and sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.